last Sunday, Mark and I stood before you and we shared a little bit about our trip to Brazil, the mission trip that he and I took during spring break. And I failed to say thank you. And we really need to say that. Your prayers were so powerful during that time. We needed that undergirding of the Spirit of the Lord's power and strength through prayer. And we knew that you were praying for us. Thank you. And your tithes and offerings, every time you give a tithe here at Cultivate, a part of that goes to help our missions ministry. And so your prayers and your giving were a part of the support that Mark and I needed while we were on the river there. So thank you so much. This morning, we're continuing in our study and understandings of looking into God's word for about the teachings of Jesus. And in particular this morning, we're looking at Matthew chapter 14, and it's where Jesus feeds the 5,000, an amazing miracle that we're going to be looking at together. And Mark really encouraged me in this. When we were in Brazil, we would just share a word of testimony here. I would share a testimony, and then I'd share a story from the Bible and unpack its truths. And he said, you know, Mike, you ought to just try that this Sunday at Cultivate when you're preaching. And so that's what we're going to do today. So it's a narrative story that happened in Matthew 14, and then we're just going to talk about that text and what it means to our lives today, in particular, what God wants to say to us through it. But before we do that, let's pray together. All right, so if you would, bow with me in prayer. And Lord, thank you for your presence in this place today. Indeed, you are here with us. Thank you for Tanner pointing us toward you and toward your presence. Just take a moment and just enjoy God's presence. Ask him to settle your heart, your mind, your spirit in him. Receive his joy. Christ's joy is ours because of what he did on the cross. And so just receive that right now. God, thank you for your fullness. Would you ask the Lord, just say, Lord, would you speak to me today? Would you give me something this morning, Lord, that I need? Would you do that? Ask him for that. And then tell him yes. Lord, whatever you say, we want to be an obedient people to you. And so give us faith, give us courage, give us strength. We're all in this together. Thank him for his love. Thank him for his grace. Lord, prepare our hearts now to receive your word. And it's in your name we pray. Amen? All right. Hey, one of the things, I feel like one of those preachers that just keeps a hanky. I need it today. I don't know why. Okay, come on. One of the things we told the folks there that we were preaching to in Brazil, because many of them come from a Catholic background. And the focus there, in particular in Brazil, is about religion and keeping the rules. And so one of the things we communicated, listen, Jesus does not invite you into a religion. He invites you into a relationship. And Jesus, when he was on the earth, he was always talking about the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is here. He is inviting us to be a part of his kingdom. Jesus said, listen, if you'll just look around, you can see God at work all around you. You can see his creation. If we would just open our eyes. And Jesus said, if you'll listen with your ears, he was always saying, let he who has ears to hear, hear. He said, open your spiritual ears. And if you'll listen, you'll hear God speaking to you. And so this was the context that we laid before the people there on the Amazon River, that Jesus was always talking about his kingdom. He was always inviting us to be in a relationship with him where we could grow and thrive and be a part of his work. A really interesting verse of scripture is John 18:36. And Jesus is on trial, and this is the point at which he's standing before Pilate. And Pilate says, are you a king? Where's your kingdom? And Jesus says, listen to this, my kingdom is not of this world. My kingdom is not of this world. What did he mean by that? He meant that his kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. His kingdom is a spiritual kingdom. And so I want you to lean into this. Listen, there is more going on around us than we are aware of or can perceive with our senses. God's working all around us. If we'll listen in the Spirit, he's speaking. And so Jesus says, come, be a part of my spiritual kingdom. Be sons and daughters of the King and walk in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's the kingdom work that he's inviting us to. Now this morning, we want to share a story from Matthew chapter 14, an amazing miracle where Jesus feeds a whole bunch of people. I mean, that's just bottom line. He feeds a bunch of people. So in the story, Jesus and his disciples were ministering on the northern side of the Sea of Galilee. They're near a community called Bethsaida. And Jesus has just found out. I don't know why this is getting me, but that John, his cousin, his friend in ministry, had been beheaded. And it doesn't say it in the text, but we must know that Jesus is heartbroken. And he stops, and he gets into a boat to go to a remote place where he can be by himself and pray to his Father. And the people, they love Jesus so much. They love his ministry. And so, you know, maybe they were from that county. And they knew all the back roads. Some of you know Mark, my good friend here. He knows every road in Nashville, it feels like. Mark, we need to get over to here to this place. I can get you there. And we don't have to go out on the highway. They found Jesus. They went searching for him. And so Jesus, he's heartbroken. He's grieving. And he gets off the boat. And there they are, thousands of them. And they're hurting. They're hungry. They're starving for his touch. There's people laid out on sick beds. They brought them through. I don't know how they got them there because it says it was a very remote place. And in that moment, Jesus has compassion on them. He just has compassion that wells up from within him. And so he starts ministering to the people. He starts a healing service. And he's ministering to people. He's preaching the gospel. They're drinking it in. And it gets late. It's late in the evening, getting toward evening. One of the disciples comes up and says, Jesus, listen, we're away from everything. We're out in the sticks. There is no place for these people to eat. There's a lot of them. We have no food. And so you need to disband this meeting right now, and you need to send these folks off into the villages so they can get some to eat. And then Jesus says something that none of the disciples expect. He says, why don't you feed them? Disciples are like, what? You want us? No, wait, Lord, we told you there's no food. One of the disciples said, I found some food. Well, what'd you get? He said, we got 5 pieces of bread and 2 fish. They're thinking, my math's not that good, but that's not going to be enough for all these people. And Jesus says, bring it to me. And in a way that the disciples recognized, so beautiful when Jesus broke bread. We're going to talk about that next Sunday, Palm Sunday, how Jesus' body was broken for us. How the two disciples on the road to Emmaus, when Jesus broke the bread, their eyes were open and it was Jesus. Our hearts were burning inside of us. Jesus raises the bread up to heaven and he breaks it. And he prays to his Father, and he blesses it. And then it happened. The disciples start to pass out the bread, and they're like, where's all this food coming from?
And there's more, and there's more, and there's more. And the food just keeps coming. And everybody's like, oh, look, a buffet. And they're so excited. And so they're eating the bread, and they're eating the fish. And it says that everybody is full, so full that they're satisfied. You know that kind of satisfaction when you have a good meal and you push away from the table? You kind of go, oh, that was good. It's that kind of satisfaction. And it was amazing. And the disciples are like, oh, man, what's going on? And so then they start collecting all the leftovers. There's 12 baskets of food left over. What an amazing miracle that Jesus does on this day. Now, a few things that God brought to my attention about this. One thing to note is the scripture says there are about 5,000 men. That's not counting the women and children. We don't know how many people were there, but there were a lot. There are a lot of people, thousands upon thousands of people. So what does God want us to learn? First, Jesus invites us to be a part of his kingdom work of feeding the hungry, of healing the hurting, and of bringing living water to thirsty people. Jesus is inviting us. The scripture just jumps up off the page at us at Jesus, because he says, you feed them. He's saying, you bring healing to them. You pray for them. You minister to them. Jesus invites us into that. He wants us to help others. Jesus said in his Sermon on the Mount, give to the one who asks, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. And in the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. And then he said in Luke's gospel, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. For freely you have received by God's grace, and so freely give. Jesus is inviting us to join him in his kingdom work of helping others. He invites us into that. But here's a question we need to answer. Whose kingdom am I serving? Whose kingdom am I serving? Am I serving God's kingdom or my own? Am I only concerned with my own needs, or do I also care about the needs of others? The Apostle Paul said in the book of Philippians, don't look out for your own interest, but also take an interest in others. In the villages where we were at, on the Amazon River, at the end of every service, we would offer a time of prayer. We just say, hey, if you want to, we're going to distribute some, we would preach and share, and then we'd give the people some food and say, after the service, after getting some food, if you want to come up, we'd be happy to pray for you, pray with you. And every service, we had people come up, and they had so many kinds of needs. Several came to us and said, listen, yesterday I didn't know how I was going to feed my family. And then your boat arrived, and we heard through the village and through the chief, every village had a chief. And just the first time I went to Amazon, I thought, we're going to go meet the chief. You know, you kind of have those kind of a picture in your mind. I'd never met a chief on the Amazon River. He had flip-flops, surfer shorts, and a tank top. He looked like everybody else did. And so he didn't have like a headdress or, you know, a spear, or, you know, like nothing like that. And you know, we heard through the chief that you had brought food. Thank you. We prayed for people that had injuries, that were hurting, that had disease. We saw God heal broken families. We saw God move in some amazing ways. In every village, people would pray to receive Christ. As we led them to the gospel, people would pray and ask Jesus to come into their lives. Was absolutely amazing. When we listen, when we learn how to focus on the needs of others, One of the things Mark and I talked about this, it causes us to realize how blessed we really are. How blessed we are. But secondly, it takes your eyes off your own problems and it puts them on the needs of others. And so it's really a double blessing. The blessing of that person that we're helping, but also the blessing that comes back to us as God uses us for that person. So first, Jesus invites us to join him in his work of feeding the hungry. Second, we learn here that ministry is oftentimes not convenient or easy. Jesus is grieving the loss of John the Baptist, his friend, his cousin. But as he saw the people, he was deeply moved with compassion, and he starts to minister to them. There are times and seasons in life, when ministry is not convenient or easy. The Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy 4:2, preach the word, be prepared in season and out of season, correct, rebuke, and encourage with great patience and careful instruction. Now, this phrase, being prepared in season and out of season, means we're always ready to show others the love of Christ, even when we don't feel like it. On the boat, and actually, Mark, it's been really cool. Pastor Ali has been texting me back and forth, and I just got a voice message from him today. We have a missionary there. His name is Pastor Ali and his wife, Silvana, and I've served on many trips on the river with Pastor Ali. He's really a funny man. He's quite a character. One of his favorite phrases, when it's time to eat, he'll say, let's put something under the shirt, which means, you know, let's get some food. And just a really funny guy. He said some other things, but I'll stop. I would always try to get the time from him. Pastor Lee, can you kind of get Mark and I a layout of when we'll be where and what we'll be doing when? And so, because I realized, in contrast to Brazilians who are not locked into their phones and to their watches, Americans are. We really are. We're driven by time. And so in Brazil, if it says we're going to meet at 6, it's 6 o'clock until it's 6:59, and that's perfectly okay. I'm losing my mind. I'm sitting there like, we told all these people to be here at 6 o'clock. Where are they? And a few had shown up, and they're hanging out. And I thought, they're going to get mad. We said 6 o'clock. They're going to be like, well, they're just wasting our time, and they were going to go away. And so, but they're on a village. They're in the remote part of the Amazon, you know, river. They didn't have anything else to do. And so they're like, we'll go see these guys and get some food and hear them talk. And they would just come out. And so while we were driven by time, Brazilians are not. It drove me batty. It just drove me batty. And then there'd be other times when Ali would say, okay, Pastor Mike, let's go see the chief. And so we get on the boat. We get over there. And he'd say, okay, I think we can go ahead and start preaching now. I'm like, what? No. I haven't put on my bug spray. I need some sunscreen. I have my hat. I got a really fancy safari hat. And I need my dry fit pants. I wasn't ready. For our Brazilian friends, they wear surfer shorts, a tank top, and flip-flops. That's their wardrobe. And so they're always ready to go. And so the time thing was really, it really messed with me. But here's a question that I want you to think about. Do I sometimes, listen, opt out of serving? God says, my child, I want you to serve in this area, but we opt out of serving because it's inconvenient. Or maybe it makes us a little uncomfortable. Listen, convenience and comfort should not be the factors that drive our decision to serve. It's the Holy Spirit and the Lord directing us that leads us to serve and help others. Now, I'll be honest with you. Mark didn't. He was lucky. He was unscathed by the chiggers. Whew, I got quite a few chigger bites. And I've been on the river before, and I've Some of the trips, we go to places that don't have jiggers, but this place did, and I've had them before, and they're bad. They make a welt on you, you know, and I had a lot. Let's just stop there. It was very uncomfortable. Something got in my stomach. I drank some bad water one day. I didn't know it was bad. Mark said, I don't think we're supposed to drink that water. I think it's fine. It wasn't. And so I had some medicine for that. I've been taking that medicine, but Brazil is still in me and still with me and it's still on me. And so you know what, though? Those are just inconveniences and minor irritations. It's worth it for the sake of the gospel. It was worth going for the sake of people who came into the kingdom. Their names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life now. And so it's worth it. Give me a little bug bite. Give me an upset stomach. I don't care. It's worth it for the sake of the gospel. God used us and worked through us because we were willing to go. We were willing to put up with some minor inconveniences. But just Jesus has given this heads up. Ministry isn't always easy, but it's worth the effort because of the kingdom of God and what God wants to do through us. The third lesson that Jesus wants us to learn from this story, listen, he can take our little and he can turn it into much. Jesus can take our loaves and our fishes and he can turn it into a miracle that will feed countless souls. We never know what Jesus is sometimes doing as we plant seeds of faith in others, as we might help someone less fortunate than we are, when we offer a word of encouragement, we say a word of prayer for a friend. Jesus will multiply your little and turn it into a lot in his kingdom. A kingdom principle that Jesus teaches us about in Matthew 13 is this. Listen, the kingdom of heaven is like a little bitty mustard seed, which a man took and he planted it in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it's the largest of garden plants and it becomes a tree so that the birds come and perch in its branches. And here's the lie of the enemy. A lot of times, the enemy tries to make us feel insignificant. He tries to make us feel small. He tries to make you believe the lie that your life in Christ and in his power will never amount to anything. He lies to us. But we need to remember that God created us in his image with a beautiful design and for a beautiful purpose. Paul says it in Ephesians 2:10, for we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do. That word for handiwork is the Greek word poema. And it means you are a poem. I think some of you are maybe a haiku. I don't know. We're all different kind of poems. I hope my poem has rhymes at the end, because those poems that don't rhyme at the end, I don't understand, but that's okay. But you're God's poem. He created you as a beautiful work of art. And God wants to use you for his glory. He wants to use your life to bring the Lord glory. One of the amazing stories from our trip was a man named Francisco, and we mentioned him to you last week in our testimonies. At the end of the service, Francisco came forward, and we were talking with him, and we just asked everybody who came forward for prayer, hey, what can we do for you today? How can we help you? And he said one word, reconciliation. And we said, what do you mean by that? And he unpacked his story. He said, my daughter married this guy over here, and I don't like him, and he's the pastor of the church. And so because of that, I left the church years and years and years ago. And then he said, I have never felt the power of God's presence like I felt it in this place today. And I want to be reconciled back to God, back to my family, and back to the church. We didn't script that. I didn't lay it out. And so here's some points of application for you in the message. We just simply shared the story of God's word. God did that. That was the Holy Spirit speaking into that man's life, speaking to his heart. Mark and I, and those in our interpreter, we're just standing there crying because to see the power of God to reconcile this man and his family, it was beautiful. You never know what God is going to do with your little and make it into so much. In every village we went to, the Lord would direct us, share this story today. Mark would change up his testimony each time according to how the Spirit was directing us. And because we were obedient, God used us. You never know how God wants to use you. Now take your little and he'll turn it into much to breathe for his glory and a blessing to others. Now, I think one of the reasons why we often will not yield our little for God is because of fear. It's out of fear. Fear can immobilize us sometimes. And I can say that because I struggle with fear myself. We're scared that maybe we're not enough, or maybe we'll make the wrong decision. Or maybe we don't know enough, or we won't know what to say, or we will mess it up. And this is Satan's lie to us. The Word of God says, listen, perfect love casts out all fear. Satan cannot be in the presence of the perfect love of the Lord Jesus Christ at work in your heart and life. Paul says to us, you have not been given a spirit of fear, but of power and love and a sound mind. Jesus Christ is greater. 1 John 4:4. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. That means Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit who's in you is greater than all the powers of hell. Satan and all his millions, I don't know how many they have, but he's got a lot of them. Jesus Christ is more powerful. And so when you struggle with fear, and I do too, listen, Paul says, bring every thought captive to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so you just bring that thought, Lord, I'm really scared about this. And so I just bring this to you right now, Lord God. Just, I trust you with it. And I find in my own life many times, instantly the fear is gone. I don't know why. I was fearful about today. I could feel it yesterday in my bones and in my spirit. And so I just stopped and I said a brief prayer. Lord, I don't know why I'm scared. I shouldn't be. You've told me what to say. I've been preaching for over 30 years. You'd think that by now I wouldn't be nervous. And so I just said a brief prayer, fear gone. And that's the Lord's work in your life. Don't listen to the lies of Satan. Don't let fear hold you back from serving the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus can take the little of ours and make it much in his kingdom. So I ask, what is God saying to you today? How is the Holy Spirit directing you? Maybe it's to say yes to Jesus as he calls you to serve and help others. Maybe it's to serve in a place that you felt like, gosh, it's just so inconvenient or it's so uncomfortable for me. Let God direct that. I don't want to speak into that for you. I wouldn't dare. That's not my business, but it's God's business. Maybe it's to bring your gifts, your talents, your little, okay, and put it into the hands of the master for the use in his kingdom. So what is God saying today? Can I just throw three things out that I'm aware of right now? You could serve on one of our teams. We always need help with our setup team, and we need help with our children's ministry. If you'd like to hold a baby, or if you'd like to help teach the youngsters as they go away during the sermon time, please be a part of that team. We need your help. Secondly, we have a monthly international service project, which we go locally on mission. We had a team go yesterday, about 17 of us. Honestly, it was a blast. I had a great time. I was with the Ball family, and I really got to know their daughters, and they just chatted and talked, and I won't embarrass you, honey, I promise, but we just had such a good time, and we just took some food to some families in need around the community. We try to do that once a month on a Saturday morning. And then I want to let you know about this. We are taking a mission team, to Kansas City in July. And we're going to be partnering with our good friends, Joe and Abby Williams. We're going to be doing some light construction work, house updates for them, and also helping them in their ministry to reach Somalis, one of probably the most hardest, most difficult people group on the earth to reach with the gospel. And we'll be a part of their ministry there for a week, and that's in July. I encourage you, maybe God right now, he's tapping you on the shoulder. Be a part of that team. Whatever God is saying to you today, respond to him. I want to close this morning and share one more story from the Amazon River. In 2017, I was a part of a team that went to the Amazon River, and we were working in a village called São José. And actually, our team went there for 3 years in a row because the Lord had purposed for us to knock on the door of every house in São José, and there were over 300 homes. It was a very large village. And so we had done that. We knocked on every door. We shared the gospel. We saw many people come to faith in Christ. We made disciples. We taught disciples how to study the Bible and then make disciples of others. So we were planting little bitty house churches, little Bible study groups. A wonderful, fruitful ministry. But at the end of that 3 years, our time had come up and we moved on to another village. We'd done all the work that God had called us to do there. Fast forward to 2 weeks ago today, when Mark and I get on the boat, and this young man who's going to be a part of our team, he says to me, "Pastor Mike." I'm like, "Hello, I know you." I said, "Really?" I had no idea who this guy was, and I'm racking my brain, Pastor Daniel, trying to think, did I meet this guy one time? And he said, "You came to my village." "And you shared the gospel with my family. And my family are believers now. We love the Lord. I see that I've seen your picture on the website for a ministry, for Amazon Vision Ministry. I don't know why they picked some of my pictures, but I'm plastered on their webpage." And so he said, "Thank you for coming." And I said, "Well, what is your name?" And he said, "Danielson." And I thought, Mr. Miyagi immediately. That was one of his favorite movies, so that was kind of funny. But he was our interpreter for the week. We had gone, we were faithful to the Lord, we were obedient. And now here's this young man. What had happened in his story was so cool. He was so encouraged by our team there that he determined the Lord by the Spirit directed him to learn English. And so he studied hard. He'd learned to speak the English language. He moved to Manaus. He went to college. He got his college degree, but the river was still calling him. Ministry was still in his heart and in his mind and in his spirit. So he had gone back to serve on the river. And there he is serving as our interpreter. Danielson and I went out witnessing one day, one afternoon, and we're knocking on doors and we're sharing the love of Christ with people. And we were sitting with a lady in her living room and we're sharing the gospel with her. And we had finished sharing the gospel and I asked her, I said, "Would you like to become a Christian right now?" And through Danielson's interpretation, she said, "Yes." And Danielson, he just starts crying. He looks at me and said, "She said yes." He was so excited. He said, "I have never been a part of seeing someone come to know Jesus like that." So we shared the gospel with his family. He comes on this trip, and now he's learning how to share the gospel with others. Listen, yield your best for God. Surrender to him. Let him use you for his glory and see what he'll do. God is an amazing God. He has power over all things, and he wants to use your life to feed the hungry, to heal the hurting, and to bring living water to the thirsty.